Praise God that we come together to worship Emmanuel, God with us. And God has come to us through His Son, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem. And what a great time of year to celebrate in so many ways. And one of the ways that our church celebrates the coming of Christ is through our children's Christmas party. And the names are on the board there. We've got a beautiful tree back there. And glad to see everyone getting involved with that. Be sure you grab a name and write down the names of those and have fun getting those gifts. And as we desire to make the Lord known, make His Son known to every child, every mom, every dad, every family, every person of this community. You know, as I was last week ago, Saturday after getting back from Thanksgiving holiday, it seemed like that's a good time to get the Christmas cheer going and get the tree up at our house and the lights out. And I have to admit, sometimes I'm a little ball humbug about some of that. I don't know if it's the work of having to go to the garage and pull out all the stuff and make a big mess in the house. You know, it's got to get worse before it gets better. But I thought, well, I'll get on to it. The kids were having fun hanging, putting up the ornaments on the tree and think, this is what it's all about. It's about the joy of the coming of Christ. And I was hanging my lights on the edge of my house and thinking about, you know, as we look around this neighborhood and look around this community and as you go different places and see the different lights, thinking about, you know, the Lord gave the command to write the commands on door frames, write the commands on your houses, and to write them on your foreheads and on your gates so that all would know and remember who the Lord is. And as you see the lights around, to know who the Lord is and who we are celebrating, and pray that the name of Christ will be glorified in every home that those lights are hanging on, every community, every business, every street corner, every street post where you see those lights shining, that Christ's name will be proclaimed, and that sons and daughters and moms and dads and families and friends will come to know Jesus as King, as their King, as our King. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice. And from that time on and forever, and the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Virgin Mary gave birth to a son, and they named him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit. All this took place to fulfill what the prophet Isaiah said. The virgin will be with child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And God became man. And Jesus, who is called Christ, was born. Christ, the Messiah. Christ, the Anointed One. Christ, the King. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Christ was born, and a new song began to play. A new song of Jesus the Messiah began to ring out and continues to ring out even to us today. The song of the King, the song of Christ, the song of a Savior, the song of hope, the song of joy, the song of peace that has filled all the lands from that time until today. Well, Matthew begins his gospel with the announcement of the King. He started with the genealogy and the family of the line of Jesus and showing him to be the son of David and showing him to be the son of Abraham. Then Matthew gives an account of the birth of Jesus the Messiah. Now from that time, the time of the birth, till later on when Jesus calls his disciples by saying, come follow me, between that time, I see what is in the book of Matthew, a prelude. And you want a prelude? What is a prelude? A prelude is the introduction to what is to come. Or in a musical number, the prelude is the opening melody, the opening sound before the verses begin to play, before the chorus. It's the proclamations, it's the introductions. And I see from the time Jesus was born to the time he calls his disciples, there's these few chapters, these few tellings, proclamations of who this Jesus is, who it is that has come to us. And the beginning melody of the life of Christ, and this is what happens before the narrative, before the song of Jesus going out, before Jesus takes flight and preaches, before he takes flight and heals and lets the world know through words and actions that the King is here, that Jesus, the Son of God, has come. Before the time he says, come follow me, till the time he says, and lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age, forever and ever, day by day. And we're still singing that song. We're still singing his song, the song of Jesus. We're still singing hallelujah. We're still singing rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. God is with us. Is that our song, church? That we are still singing? But before that song, we have this prelude that we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at what has been said. What are the opening remarks about the Son of God? Jesus is here. God is with us. And this prelude begins in Matthew chapter 2. As was read for us already in our service, Matthew chapter 2. This prelude begins with the story of the Magi following a star. Following a star in search of the King of the Jews. Well, Matthew was written, the book of Matthew was written to a Jewish audience to prove that Jesus is their Messiah. He was writing to convince the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, that this is the Messiah and this is your King. What's an interesting starting story to tell those who he was trying to convince, by confronting them immediately. He confronts the very nature of who they are right away, proving that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the King, by taking the side, not taking the side of the Jewish leaders, not taking the side of the Jewish elites, but by taking the side of the Magi of all people. And why would he take the side of outsiders? Why would he take the side of Gentiles? Because there's a bigger story. He's not just the King of the Jews, he's the King of all. And he begins his proclamation, this telling of the coming of the King by starting with the Magi. He didn't start with the side of the Jewish elites. He doesn't start with Herod himself. Herod was the acting king of the Jews. He was the acting king over the nation. He didn't start by favoring him. Doesn't start by favoring even the chief priest, the ones who know the law, the teachers of the law. He didn't start with favoring them. He starts with the Magi, those who are outside, those who are from the land of Persia or the land of Babylon. And these men of from Persia and or Babylon, they were known for the study of astrology. They would study the stars and the interpretation of celestial beings. Now, the Jewish people, they did not favor that study. They didn't find much value and worth in that. And so that was something that was looked down upon, or they kind of sneered at. It was the looking at stars, the counting of the stars, the following of the patterns and all that. But the Magi, they were very true to that, and they were very faithful to that. But the Jews strongly opposed it. And I have to admit, when I look at the story of the birth of Christ, now there are very many interesting things that happen. I mean, the virgin being with child, that's a pretty striking occurrence that happens. You know, it makes a lot of questions. How? Is this real? Now, this part about the story with the star has always been one of these parts of the stories that kind of wondering, is that real? Did that really happen? It sounds like a cartoon. Sounds like a sci-fi. These guys following a star. I mean, who would, if someone said, yeah, how did you get here? I followed the star to come here. You say, well, you're crazy. Following stars? I mean, would we not? I mean, some of you are like, no, that's how I got here. Well, I want to hear your story because God led you here. God led you here. And, well, I always wonder about this star. You know, that through God, but we've seen in Scripture that God does show power over nature. He does show power over creation because God is ruler over it all. We see that he caused a flood to cover the whole earth. We see that he parted seas for people to walk on dry ground. We see that he parted rivers for people to walk on dry ground. We see that he causes supernatural things to happen in the world. And we believe it because it happened, because it was written, and it stayed written. People witnessed it, and it happened, and it saw it, and it was truth. If it didn't happen, it would have never gotten to us today. It never would have made it past the speculation and the criticism. You know, there's been a lot of study in the scientific studies of trying to figure out, well, scientifically, what was the star? What was the anomaly that was happening? Because this was an anomaly that did occur. There's a lot of been a lot of study of trying to figure out the patterns of celestial beings. You know, in the lining up of stars that and planets that could line up and show their brightness to the extent that it would make a difference, that magi, ones that were watching and looking, would go, whoa, something different's happening there. We need to go check it out. You know, there's been studies about trying to figure out the exact dates, and there's a lot of criticism, a really interesting study. You can find some interesting studies on the science of this. And, you know, they look at, well, the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is known as the biggest planet. It's the king planet. And so the king planet lined up and it was showing brightly, and that the star Regula, which is also known as the king star, was the ones that were appearing and showing in the sky that was bright, and that there was the study of the patterns of the constellations. You know, you have the constellation Virgo, which is the Virgin Mary, that there was a pattern of that occurring, and there was the constellation of Leo that appeared, you know, as the king, the lion, that appeared, and they, this is what was happening on that day. Now, there's a lot of speculation, what day was it? And whether you get into all that or not, there's a lot of debates and a lot of theories about the science behind that. But the fact is that there was a great masterpiece of a story happening in the sky. Jesus was telling a story using the world and the universe that he created. He's telling a story that the God is ruler over all. He's ruler over the sun, the moon, and the stars, the planets, the earth. He is ruler over all. As great as those celestial beings are, and whatever value or you put into those, that study, he is in it all. And the question is, if this supernatural phenomenon did not take place, why would he tell the story? He's trying to make a case, trying to prove to people that this is what happened, that Jesus, your king, the Messiah, has come. Why would you start with something that was doubtful, that wasn't true, to prove a case? I mean, if it wasn't true, those who were listening would go, well, that didn't happen. I'm not going to read the rest of the story. I mean, you ever read an article on the internet or a newspaper, and you're getting into it, and you read it, and all of a sudden you find something, you're like, that can't be real. That didn't happen. And you may keep reading, but I know sometimes for me, I'm like, well, move on from that. Or you read the whole story and later it comes out, it's just a fake, you know, and you're really let down and you forget all about it. You ever been bought into one of those hoaxes of a story like that? And you just move it on. You know, I remember I bought in pretty hook, line, and sinker to the Back to the Future hoverboards that have been created. The ones that, the skateboards that would hover above the ground and you could take off. Well, there was a hoax of a story that Tony Hawk, you know, one of the most famous pro skaters, he was endorsing this hoax of a commercial. And I thought, hey, Tony Hawk, he's legit. This has got to be real. I mean, he's one promoting this. But I bought in. I was even telling people, hey, they did it. They made this thing. And I was about ready to go buy one and tell everybody to go buy one. But it was a hoax. It was a hoax. Well, this was not a hoax. This story of the Magi following a star was not a hoax. You know, Matthew wouldn't have started here if it didn't happen. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." See, the Magi, they were looking and they were watching. They were looking and watching and waiting for the sign. They were looking at the heavens and that God rules the heavens of the earth. And they were looking, and as they were looking, God chose to reveal Himself to these pagans, to these astrologers, to these outsiders, to start His story. The Magi were given the opportunity to respond. Now, they could have chose to think, to not done anything. Wow, did you see that star? Yes, so what? Look at this over there. Wow, and missed it. But no, they saw it, and God revealed Himself there. And they respond, and they take off, and they go, it's interesting where they go. They go to the place where they think those that should have been watching, that should know that the Messiah, should know the signs, should know the prophecies, that would also be looking and searching. And where would that be? It's where the King of the Jews is, where Herod is. And where is Herod? He's in Jerusalem. And what else is in Jerusalem? The temple. So if this is the sign of God, and this is the coming of the King of the Jews, let's go to where the Jews are. So they take off and they respond. They go to where they thought others were watching. And they go to the Jerusalem because they've heard of some of the stories. In Numbers 24, it says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. You know, a star was a symbol of also a scepter, the scepter of a king's staff. And so they heard about this. They were watching. They were looking in the right place. And God chose to reveal Himself to these pagans, chose to show Himself to these outsiders. And they see this and they respond and they go to where they think others would also be watching and would know where the king is. And they ask, where is the King of the Jews? We have come to worship Him. In Matthew 2, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together his people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them, where is the Christ to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what was written, what the prophet has written. See, Herod was not watching. He was not looking. He was, of course, not looking for another king to come. He was the king. Why would he be looking for someone else to come to be king over him, to rule over him? He was the ruler of the land. He was the king. And it disturbed him. Of course it disturbed him. If there were talks about another king of the land, and you were the one in power, you'd be very upset. And Herod was very disturbed because he was powerful. He had built the kingdom. He had built the nation. He had built theaters and amphitheaters. He had built monuments. He had built pagan altars. He had built fortresses. He even began to build up the temple of Jerusalem. But he was threatened. And when a king is threatened, he kills. When a king is threatened, he kills. And the Herods even killed their family. If your son or daughter was after you, kill him. Your wife is after you, kill her. Kill anyone who's a threat because you're the king. You're the ruler. And so when this story comes out and the Magi appear, where is the King of the Jews? What king? Hey, chief priest. Hey, teachers. What are they talking about? Is this real? Because you don't mention another king if you're the king. That's threatening. And he was disturbed. And the chief priest and the teachers of the law, they themselves were not watching. They weren't looking either. I mean, the chief priests, the ones who knew the law, that knew the same things that the Magi saw, but the Magi were the ones who saw the star respond and come searching. Where's the king? This is happening. What has been said in the scriptures is being revealed. And the teachers of the law, they weren't looking, but they knew. They did know, but they weren't acting. They did know, but they weren't looking. The chief priests and teachers of law were not watching. They were not looking. And they even knew the scriptures. I mean, when Herod asked them, where is this king to be born? Where is he? In Bethlehem and Judea, they reply, because they say, yeah, we know the scriptures. But you, Bethlehem and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler, and who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. They said, yes, they knew the answer. It is true. The ruler will come from Bethlehem. But they were unmoved by this. They were unresponsive to this. They didn't join in the quest. when the Magi show up and say, "Hey, this is happening. Where's the king?" They don't take off. They don't respond. They failed to act on their knowledge. They failed to act on their knowledge. They knew this would happen. They knew a Messiah would be coming and where it would be coming from. But they didn't believe. And because they didn't believe, they didn't obey. See, there's some elements here. There's knowledge, for one. And then there's a belief on the other side. Now, belief is not just, "I believe." Belief is, "I obey." Because you can believe something, but you don't really believe it unless you obey it. Someone may say, "Yeah, I know who God is." But they're not believing God if they're not obeying Him. "I know God loves me, but do I obey His commands?" Well, they knew, but they did not believe. They did not respond. Matthew 2, verse 7. "Then Herod calls the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" See, he was threatened. So since his chief priests and rulers, they weren't responding, but these Magi, these outsiders, they were responding. He calls them in secretly. "Hey guys, Magi, come here. What's happening? What's going on?" You see, anytime there is movement in your land as the king, that's not good. When people start stirring up questions and concerns, kings don't like that. Because the king is the king. The king is the one who says, and he's kept things in line. He's kept the peace. He's kept everyone happy. He's let the pagan temples come in. He's even let the Jerusalem temple come back. He's built this land. And when someone else starts mentioning another king, that's not good. That's threatening. And so he calls in these Magi, because he doesn't want people to start talking about another king. He doesn't want more of this attention. He wanted to keep the peace so that he could keep his place. He wanted to keep the peace so he could keep his place, even in this pluralistic society. See, I mean, pagans, you can have your altars. Jews, you can have your temple. Just keep it down. Don't make anybody change. Don't kick the attention, say, away from me. Just keep the peace. Keep things where they are. Don't ask questions. Don't challenge. But the Magi were rushing in saying, "Where is the King of the Jews? We have come to worship Him." Not you, Herod. Him. Well, what about today? Who is ruling today? Are we threatened by political powers? Threatened by world leaders, threatened by social media, threatened by civic leaders, threatened by educational systems, economic issues or racial tensions. There's a threat of who is ruling our life. "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be satisfied, and the earth and heaven be one. This is my Father's world. Dreaming I see His face. I open my eyes in glad surprise. The Lord is in this place. This is my Father's world. From the courts above, the Beloved One, His only Son, came a pledge of deathless love. This is my Father's world. Should my heart be ever sad? The Lord is King. Let heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad. This is my Father's world, now closer to heaven bound. For dear to God is the earth Christ trod. No place but is holy ground." Today, God is ruling yet. And we feel threatened. Don't be threatened. We have a king. The king has come. Emmanuel, God with us. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. The king is here. Who is the king? Who is he being revealed to? He's been revealed to all. But how are all responding? Are we responding like the Magi who see and come running? Or the ones who know and are still? Matthew 21 says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Are we watching? Are we looking? Are we responding? Are we obeying? See, the Magi were looking, and God showed himself, and they respond. Herod, what are they talking about? I didn't see that. The chief priest, we didn't see it. They weren't watching. They weren't looking. You ever been on a trip and you're the one driving? And you know, you're the one driving, you should be paying attention. You should be looking and watching. Watching the road, watching everybody else, and you're watching the ditch, and you're watching the fields, and you're watching the sky, because you got to be careful, you know, what's happening, what's going on around you. But you ever been driving, and you have some people else in the car with you, and you're driving, and all of a sudden you say, hey, look at that horse over there. And everyone's like, I don't see it. I don't see it, right? It's right there. You're pointing. You're like, look at it, I see it. And they're like, I don't see it. And they're looking, and they can't tell where you're pointing. They're looking over here. What are you talking about? Because you're the one watching and looking. And you see it when things happen. But these others didn't. They weren't watching and looking. They missed it. They missed it. I remember a time when we were here last time. There's a story about Joe Maxwell. We were all at the beach. I don't know what it was, for an evening picnic or bonfire, and we were all watching these surfers at Bassendorf Beach, and they were surfing and they were doing their thing, and it was awesome. We were all looking that way, and all of a sudden a voice over here, Joe Maxwell, I hate them things. So, and we're like, surfers? And he wasn't looking here, he was watching here at the seals. No! Seals! They're always stealing my bait! See, he was watching here, but we were looking at somewhere else. Are we watching? Are we searching? We know, but do we obey? Who is searching for the king today? Who is looking for Jesus today? And where would people go to find him today? The Magi, they saw this happen and they go, we know where to go. Go to Jerusalem. We need to go where the nation of Israel are. We know where to go. Go to where the king of the Jews are. We know where to go. Go to the temple. Where would people go today? And what would they do if they found him? You know, where is the light shining in the darkness today? You know, Jesus is the light. A new light has dawned. A new light has come. And where is Jesus today? Jesus is in you. Jesus is in his church. You know, at one time, churches would be a place where people would go, be the first place they would go to find the light, to find help in the darkness. And I'm glad that people still come and knock on these doors to ask for help. I'm glad people still call and say, can you help with this and that, or this and that? Because there's a light that they know that something in Jesus is here. But the star came to the Magi. The Magi were just looking at the stars. They were counting the stars and looking constellations, looking at patterns, and the light came to them. And the Lord called to the outsiders to come in to him. See, we are the light. Jesus is the light, but he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Go and shine your light before all men. We are called to have this light, to not just keep it here and keep it in ourselves and keep it in our hearts, but to take it as he sent that light to the Magi for all the world to see and glorify God. So what did the Magi do when they saw the king? What did they do when they saw the king? Verse 9, Matthew 2. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star,
they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. They were overjoyed when they arrived. This is where it is. This is what it's all about. This is what we've been looking for. They were overjoyed, and they entered the home, and oh, could you imagine their response when they laid eyes on the King? When they saw with their very eyes the King Jesus, the Son of God. And when they saw the child, they fell down and they worshiped the King. They worshiped the Son of God. And they laid their treasures out. They gave gifts that were meant for a king. Gifts of gold and gifts of anointing and gifts of incense. Gifts that were meant for a king that only a king could get. Was these gifts of such measure and of such wealth and of such purpose. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? He's here in plain view. Take a look. Open your eyes. And what is your response to Jesus? I hope you're filled with joy. Can you give me a smile? Can you give me a smile? Be overjoyed. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel unworthy. Jesus is the King and He's here. Lay eyes on Him. Look around. Take a look. He's here in plain view. I can see it in you. Can you see it in each other? Can you see it on the face of your brother and of your sister? Praise and worship and give your gifts. Give all that you have worthy of the King. Let your light shine to show all the world. So all the world will come to know the overwhelming joy of our Savior. To come to know the Lord and to want to bow down before Him in praise and worship in obedience. And to want to give all their lives and all their gifts to the Lord. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If Jesus is not your King, let the light shine into your life. If He is not your King, let the light come into your life. He is here in plain view. See Him. He's come to you. Respond to Him. Let Him rule your life. Seek Him with all your heart. Give praise and glory and worship to Him. This is the opening part, the opening prelude to the King of Jesus, the coming of the King, by announcing, where is the King? The King is here. A new light has dawned and it's still shining bright. Jesus is the bright and morning star. He is not going dim. He is shining bright for now and forevermore. And He is here today and forever and ever and ever and ever. Praise God. Praise God that He is shining bright. I invite you this morning, your response this morning, if you need to accept Christ, praise God, let's do that. If you need to grow in that, you need to confess them, let's do that. Let's pray about that. Let's encourage you and let's surround you with love and the light and presence of God. But I invite, if you are filled with joy, to share your joy with us. Let's celebrate the joy of Christ. If you've been encouraged in some way this morning, come and share your joy. Come and share your worship. Come and share a gift. A gift that would bless us to say, God is good. Jesus is here. Where is the King of the Jews? He is here. Let your light shine so that all the world may see, even as we stand and sing.